out the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
All right, we're back on WPTF. We lost that montage. I just I've added to it. Dadgummit. I've added to it this week. I think, as the mafia says, the books are closed now for a while. But Rufus, I added myself.
Well, I've been lobbying for that for a number of years, for almost 15 years. I've been saying, Mike, why in the world don't you put yourself on there?
Yeah.
Never mind that Charles Kuralt mentioned you. That wasn't you.
Right. Yeah. We're trying. I don't know what happened. Things have been purged. We're trying to find the right one, because I want to make sure. In the meantime, while Colin finds that, Billy, good morning, buddy. Sorry we threw you all over the clock there. I hope you didn't have a whole lot to do while you were having to wait. But good morning to you. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing good. I'm at the farmer's market and enjoying all these happy people walking around, and they're shopping and enjoying their sales. And it's a good break today. We've had a little rain, and it seems like everybody's spirits is uplifted.
Yeah, I mean it's. I know the farmers were glad to have the rain. Did they get too much?
No, I haven't heard them complain about too much.
Yeah,
I was talking to them.
I don't know. I've heard 4 inches in some areas. I don't know, down east. You know, that system on Thursday hung around Greenville and some other areas for a good while, but. It is. I mean, the corn, you look at the corn down east especially, and I was in South Carolina, in the sand hills of South Carolina last week, and the corn looked just awful. But we ran in some rain down there last weekend, so they've gotten a little more maybe. I hope they were part of this, and I think they were, because of the way the movement of this system. It was kind of unusual with the cold front moving back and forth, but didn't make us very cool. What do you got out there this morning? I bet you still have a lot of different peaches, right?
We do. We got a lot of peaches. I was talking to one lady. We still got wind blow this week. Probably this coming week, they will probably switch over and start bringing in a contender at one of the stands. So we have several varieties throughout the field. Still got blueberries coming in, blackberries, squash, and cucumbers, and zucchinis, and potatoes, and apples, and all kinds of good stuff out there.
Yeah, fantastic.
So you still have apples, huh, Billy?
We do have apples.
Yeah, my wife uses those in oatmeal. Cooks them up.
Yeah, Rufus, I know that you were a fan of Sugarloaf. Have you ever been up to their place with all those, that big apple house they have?
Oh, yes, sirree.
They're in Taylorsville.
Yes, sirree.
Alexander County.
Yeah, absolutely.
Harry Gant country.
They're fine people. Very fine people. Back when I was a boy growing up, my daddy was a wildlife protector, and Mama would say, well, Walter, you need to go down under the mountain and get some peaches.
How does one go under the mountain?
Well, if you go,
I mean, is that
Watauga,
a coal mine or
if
what?
If you go from Watauga down to Taylorsville,
that's
Alexander
under the
County,
mountain?
You went under the mountain.
Wilkesboro considered under the mountain?
Absolutely.
Oh.
And bring back some peaches from Taylorsville.
Did Junior Johnson know he was under the mountain?
And no, he wouldn't. I wouldn't ever say that to Junior. But we were peeling peaches one summer for canning, and it was during Watergate, and the New York Times called to see what some of us folks had been on TV a lot were doing. I said, "I'm peeling peaches." They thought that was the big time stuff. But they were Alexander County peaches.
Alexander County, yeah.
Mike, you know what I got to enjoy doing Thursday?
What? Oh, you had a big, y'all had a big day out there on Thursday.
Yeah. I had the enjoyment with one of our farmers of catching watermelons. If you haven't ever caught watermelons before, you should try it.
Wait a minute. You were pitching watermelons?
So we got a variety bin of watermelons, some yellow and some red watermelons.
Oh, okay. These are relatively small.
Yeah. And so they were pitching them to me, and I was having to catch them and put them in the bin.
Well, so is that kind of like chunking pumpkins?
It's almost like chunking pumpkins, but I don't know that they really like me or not, because some of them watermelons come at me kind of fast.
Yeah. Now, what kind of penalty would you have to endure if you missed one and squashed? What would they do to you, Billy, if you missed one?
I didn't want to find out.
All right.
So you held on tight.
I'm pretty sure they would come over there and make sure I was okay, and then.
Right. You didn't want them to bounce off your chest, I guess. How about that?
I don't have much of a chest. I wouldn't want that to happen.
Oh, my God. He's crestfallen.
but we had a good time out here Thursday, though.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And
I talked to Steve, Day Lily Steve, and we were getting a tomato sandwich. And we really did. It was a great time. A lot of people learned a lot of things about the dairy a lot, you know, and about our meat farmers across the state, as well as different commodities. And they had a cooking tent set up. And
Rufus,
I'm just don't pay any attention to Rufus. He's checking his calls. When you got the...
Oh, my goodness. Well, I thought it was somebody calling for the show, and I think it was my friend Bruce. I think it was Bruce Hayes.
Well, Bruce needs to call something besides your cell phone.
I didn't mean that.
That's okay. It's just part of the ambiance, part of what you would expect on the Weekend Gardener. Go ahead, Billy.
But yeah, we had a really good time Thursday, and all the watermelons and peaches and tomatoes come right from here at the farmer's market.
Do you still have any blueberries?
We do.
Are you getting them? I just wonder. My wife is heading down to the beach today. Whether those big fields are still producing down there in Onslow and Pender.
Well, I know. I would have to just base this on uneducated guess, but I know Whitfield still has blueberries, and I know that he is from around Pender.
Okay, good. I figured they were still doing it, even though we've had a pretty hot summer, and they are probably a little farther along than they were last year, maybe. But yeah, just curious about that. Lots of other things. Plenty of corn. I've had some wonderful corn this year. Butter beans.
We do. It's definitely a year that you need to support your local farmers, because this drought is really, put a little bit of hardship. It costs us a little extra money when you have to irrigate continuously.
And some can't do that.
Right. And those who can't, I mean, they just kind of out of the game until it rains. And
that means no steak for a while. They got to eat peanut butter sandwiches, right?
That's how it is. Yes, sir. the ones who can irrigate stuff, but, you know, it's like everything else in life. We're one catastrophe away from having a real catastrophe.
Right.
And some of these, you know, farmers, if they have a pump to go down, you know, or if their pond dries up,
right,
it causes a lot of problems. And our farmers here, I know some of the struggles they've had, but they've been successful, and they're pretty resilient, and they know the things to do, but it sure has put a little bit of hardship on them with this drought.
Okay.
Well, Billy, I'm still quite a fan of Silver Queen, so I'm sure there are other corns that are just as good or people swear by. What's the next corn that's supposed to be as good or better than Silver Queen?
What's that called? Peaches and Cream, is that the name of it? The yellow and white, one of the yellow and white ones is good. I've had some of it. I can kind of remember when I was little. At least I remember when I was first introduced into tobacco or corn. That was just an amazing thing. I remember my daddy, we went out and picked us a couple of bushels of corn, and that was just a big thing that year. Now they have so many varieties.
I know.
Amazing.
And field-grown tomatoes?
Yes, we've got. They have, like, German Johnson, you know, the heirloom tomatoes. They have the more standard tomatoes like everybody's used to now, where it's not quite as formed as the radish. And then you have all the cherry tomatoes and grape tomatoes and all the different varieties and colors.
I mean, you can have those sitting on in a bowl on the table and kind of eat them like you do grapes. Or blueberries or something. I mean, it's very nutritious and tastes good, too. Yeah. I really like the smaller tomatoes. I like the flavor of the smaller tomatoes, too.
I do. My favorite is the little pear tomato. The little yellow pear tomato.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's like a pear. That's probably my favorite small tomato.
Right. So you have plenty of plants, I'm sure.
We do. Mr. Johnny came to me today, and he took me around and showed me. He has 10 varieties of those dinner plate high density.
Oh, wow. That's our friend John.
Oh, my.
Out there, yeah.
I have one of his blooming right now that he gave me the last time we were at the market for a show.
Right. No, he brought us several. We gave them to listeners, too. Well, yeah, John does a great job. He had some pretty hydrangeas this year, too, last time we were out. It's just really gorgeous stuff.
Another plant that sparked my interest this morning was the fiddle ficus. It's the indoor, looks kind of like a fig leaf, great fig leaf.
Fiddle leaf fig.
Fiddle leaf fig, yeah.
Fig, okay. Yeah, maybe that is, yes, I believe that is it.
It doesn't produce fig, so does it? Yeah. It's just
indoor
kind of
ornamental.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but it is pretty. I was just thinking, especially if my mama was still alive, she would love to have
them. Absolutely. Well, there's so many things to choose from down there right now, plant-wise. It's just packed in building number two. And there's some vendors with the food products down there, too, so... Yes, I mean, you can spend a lot of time down there browsing. Up in the market shops, I bet that bread is cooking this morning. We were just talking off the air about the bread they have there, the market bakery.
Yeah, and you know, it's made fresh daily. Yesterday, one of the ladies in the office, I heard her on the telephone, she was calling me because I forgot to get these here cinnamon rolls from my dad.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Said, do you have any left? And they did have a few. They said we didn't have a whole pan, but they had a few. And I heard her tell, well, just put plenty of extra icing on it.
Okay.
I understand. I like it with or without the icing. It's just the bread is just great quality. It's sourdough bread, but it's not sour like you might find in San Francisco. The traditional, so it's Southern sour bread, and they make the cinnamon bread, the same stock with cinnamon bread and some with raisins, and it's really good. And they have ice cream there and apple turnovers, and you have a lot of baked goods in the market shop usually too.
We do. You've got all the cakes and pies.
Is our friend Judy Montague down there, Billy?
Yes, I think Miss Judy and Mr. Joe this morning, they were here.
They're out under the farmer's buildings, I believe.
They're under farmer's buildings.
Right.
Get you some coffee to go with all those sweets and at 321 Coffee, and they got meats. And, of course, the Market Grill with the Rufus dog.
And did I hear that this Rufus's birthday?
Yesterday was Rufus's birthday.
Yesterday. So this is Rufus's weekend. So everybody is...
Maybe it's his week because he's celebrating it all week, Billy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the whole week we can...
Yeah, that's right.
Celebrate Rufus's birthday.
Friday to a week from Sunday. It's a great celebration. So
yeah, go have a Rufus dog, and that'll make me happy.
And you can go out there and eat breakfast right now if you don't want a hot dog. They have that. And speaking of breakfast, the famous Farmer's Market restaurant, where you can definitely get you some country ham and biscuits and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, I walked through there yesterday and was just looking at the different plates of food.
Yeah.
There's so many different things at one time because they got breakfast all day long. And then they have pork chops and, country hamburger steak and all different things. I'm walking through there looking. They got great chicken salad. I was like, I just had to do my job. I went up there to eat. I didn't have time to eat yesterday. So I just walked through and I looked at that. Man, that here kind of hurt my feelings that I couldn't just sit down and get me a fork to go at it.
Yeah.
It smells
I understand.
Food.
Right. So, you got the seafood restaurant and all you can eat, basically, every time you order something out there. And they open up about 11 o'clock. And Superside, if you need some good warm season grass sod right now and a lot of stuff that goes with it, some mulch, it's all at the State Farmers Market. Y'all got any big days coming up, special days?
We do. August 9th, that Friday. We are having Watermelon Day. And I believe that's going to be one of them days where maybe the farmers bring out them great big watermelons.
Well, those are the ones that you're going to have to chunk on that day, Billy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to have to tell you that.
You know, since I've been here, they range from like 180 to 220 or a little more pounds. I don't think I can.
Come on now. You got to work out for this. Let's do a little weightlifting, some sit-ups. And see if we can't handle a few of those big, or at least some seed spitting.
That would be nice. I don't know if we're going to do that or not, but it would be nice.
I've never heard anybody say that would be nice for seed spitting, but
I would love to watch it because since I worked out here, we haven't done that. But
yeah,
hey, I don't know if they'll have.
Everybody's got their technique. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's more than just sit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you got to have some propulsion. That's some people have more air than others. Hot air. Rufus, you would probably be a good seed spitter.
I'm afraid I would win wholeheartedly, and that's why I've never entered the seed spitting contest.
You'd be the governor of seed spitting.
Yes.
You would definitely win that one.
That's a title I do not need. But I have watched the seed spitting contest out there, and it gets sort of nasty.
Yeah.
So like watching Mort Hurst,
the
world champion collard eater, sort of watching Mort Hurst eat chitlins wasn't a fun idea.
Yeah. Enjoys them a great deal, as he should. The hallowed chitlin. All right, Billy. Have a wonderful day, my friend.
All right.
Always enjoy talking to you.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Brother Billy out of the State Farmers Market. And, they have a good time out there all the time. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. You're listening to the Weekend Gardener, quickly approaching our 40th anniversary in January. And that'll be really something. It's
good gracious.
You're talking about time flying. And Rufus has been on the show since... I believe like 05.
About 16 years.
05, 06.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's incredible.
So you know what Cliff Joyner said today?
What did he say?
He said, don't mistake politeness for lack of strength.
I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah, I got to think about that one.
How about that?
Well, it was really said by Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Oh, okay. Don't say it again.
Don't mistake politeness for lack of strength.
That's true. That's true. You think nice people are, you can roll right over them. Well, you can't.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's great. Yeah. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up, 10:26.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPIN.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser. Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Sam Beard and Jim Reed
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. The Nocturne we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters. WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Riley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Well, I did it. I went and did it. I am the curator. I created this montage, and I said, well, I would never put myself in there.
Well,
said,
you well, got you had me urging you years and years to do that,
I
Mike.
Know, and it's I'm approaching 50 years with this radio station, and this is the 100th anniversary this year of WPTF. So I'd say, well, what the heck? And plus, I got a nice note from someone suggesting that I put Paul Harvey in there because he was – he did not work here, but we carried for many years his commentaries and news and the rest of the story. So I said, by golly, I'm going to do that. I don't know why I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
So I put him there with JC.
So great idea.
I hope JC and, but yeah, they sound good together. So I put myself in there. I was showing hubris, Rufus, I think.
No, you do not have hubris. You are a humble person.
I just wanted to get in it because I didn't figure anybody else ever would once I'm gone. So, yeah, not that I'm going to leave anytime soon, I hope.
That was a great idea you had. I have people tell me I love to listen to that because it brings back such good memories.
Well, it was for the... I stole the idea from NBC in 1976. Was NBC Radio's 50th anniversary, and so they'll be approaching 100 years in a couple of years now. But they had a string of shows celebrating their anniversary, and that the opening. I'll have to see if I can find that. their opening had all the voices, like Bob Hope and just all strung together, and things from that era. But it was a marvelous thing to listen to, and I loved it every time I heard it. So when we did the Tom Kearney and Rigsby and I did a 65th anniversary show for a year, and every Sunday night there would be a different aspect of WPTF, because, you know, there were interviews, and we did interviews. We had some people on live, but it was really a lot of fun to do, and a lot of material, and that was the opening to it. And mm-hmm. I have added considerably to it. It runs almost 3 minutes now, I think, and maybe it does run 3 minutes, but it was probably about a minute all of those years ago. So I've added a lot of voices, and thankfully we had a lot of archives. But a lot of people who have been on this radio station, Kay Kaiser used to visit occasionally. I don't know if he ever broadcast here, but we did carry his broadcasts from Hollywood during the war when they were trying to raise money for the troops. And also, there are a lot of people who, like Paul Harvey, who were on, or Charles Kuralt. So Charles didn't work here. He worked at WBT, but he never worked here. But he, as CBS, as a CBS correspondent, he was on the air here a few times, promoting books. And when we joined CBS years ago, he came by and did some promos, and that's where that came from. So, but he used to listen to, Charles Kuralt used to listen to PTF. It was on their radio, because the old radios back in the 40s, 30s and 40s would have call letters on the dial for different stations, and WPTF was, in fact, I have a radio at home that has that on it from the 1940s, Philco, that has that on there. So he used to listen, but he never worked here. But a lot of great people did, and those are a prime example. Those are most of them. So the books are closed for a while. All right. 919-860-9783. Is Bruce next? Yeah. Bruce is next from Raleigh. Hey, Bruce.
How are you today?
I think we're tolerable. How about you?
Well, I can't seem to grow any watermelon.
Well, I don't know. What say you there, Gerald?
Well,
what doth one need?
What are you trying to, what varieties are you trying to grow? What seems to be the problem?
So last year I put them in a fairly warm and shady spot, whatever, and I'm thinking maybe it's my soil. Somebody said I needed more sand in my soil than anything else.
Did you say shady spot?
Well, yeah, because I tried it in full. Four plants out this year in full sun, and one of them will fit in the palm of your hand. So I transplanted that into my cornfield. I've got about 12 stalks of corn, so I got a big cornfield.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. Somebody said if I plant it with the corn, then it'll be able to grow better. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what to do for next year.
Well, I mean, generally speaking, watermelons are grown pretty much in full sun. I mean, you see them grown in any field in North Carolina, it's going to be somewhere that, you know, gets 10 or 12 hours of sun a day. You probably could get by with, you know, 6 to 8 hours of sun, but you're going to have, you know, that amount of sun for sure. They're not going, the plant will live in a lot less sun than that, but it may not bloom, and if it don't bloom, you won't have any fruit, a lot like a tomato plant would be.
Our tomatoes are going like gangbusters.
The watermelons require a fair amount of fertilizer. Now, I don't know what type of watermelon you've been, you know, now all the rage is these smaller, you know, cannonball, basketball kind of size watermelons. I grew up, we grew larger watermelons and that. Watermelon has to, they take a lot of water. I mean, the plants are, if you have like the last 6 weeks of being, if you're here in the Triangle area with all this 90-something degree weather and, you know, very little rain at all, then those fruit are not going to develop.
Yeah.
It'll bloom and a fruit will come on them and they'll end up looking like a softball. Because, it, I mean, think about it. When you cut a watermelon open, there's a reason it's named watermelon. There's water everywhere. And it takes a lot of water for that plant to make the fruit and for the plant to stay alive and healthy to be able, you know, to bloom throughout. Takes a fair amount of fertilizer for the plant. My father used to use cottonseed meal. It's kind of a slow-release nitrogen. And all of these people, if you go to the farmer's market in August when people bring in the giant watermelons, that's what those people are using to get those watermelons that big. Now, most of the time, that kind of size watermelon has been over-fertilized and is not good to eat. I suspect you're looking to grow some to eat. But do you remember which particular varieties you have been trying to grow?
No, I went down to like Lowe's or Brooks Brothers Hardware. I picked up a pack of them too, and
Burke,
put them in
Burke
the
Brothers. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Brooke Brothers, I would feel better about getting the seed from. Lots of times, you go to the box stores, and that's a burpee rack or whatever it may be is kind of a nationwide thing. And they may not have the varieties that have tended to do well in this area.
That is
true. I mean, Charleston Gray is an old variety that does very well here. And I would suspect somebody like Burke Brothers would have the types of varieties that you see here, the Georgia Rattlesnake, Cannonball, Congo, varieties like that. So that's some, but I think more of the issue is probably maybe not enough sun and keeping it watered. It is not something once it starts to fruit that you can go 10 days and not get any water and expect the watermelon to develop.
Yeah, well, I water all my plants for about 15 minutes in the morning, and then if it's real hot during the day after the sun gets off of, then I go ahead and water for another 10 minutes at night.
Well, that's, that should be sufficient on the water. And how about fertilization? What have you been doing?
I used 10-10-10 when I started, and then I put that liquid fertilizer on about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Well, that should have helped. I the only possible thing I can think of it that is how much sun do you think is actually getting a day where you have them at?
Oh, these are in the sun all the time.
Okay.
So it's like the one plant, it didn't do very well, and I'm thinking maybe that's my, when I dug them up, the soil was real hard, so I guess I need to add sand or peat moss.
Well, the, as in anything, the watermelons, any kind of vining plant, does not have a super deep root on it. Having good draining soil is going to be important. And that's one of the reasons that they have to be watered a lot, because the roots don't go very deep on a watermelon. So I think doing something to amend that for next year is a definite, even if you got something like black cow and mixed in with
that in. Yeah, I got 3 plants, and then I put the black cow in the bottom and then put some soil over the top of it and put black cow around the top.
Well, that don't sound awful.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
They just won't grow.
Well, another issue, too, is, I mean, most of the time when you see people, they have a watermelon patch. In other words, you know, a small watermelon patch would have 30 or 40 plants in it. And sometimes when you only have one or two plants of anything, then it doesn't take much of a minor issue to be, you know, very large, because you've got two plants. You know, we used to, my father, after I grew up on a tobacco farm, and after he retired from planting tobacco every year, he would grow about 5 acres of watermelons every year, just kind of having something to do, as he called it. And he loved watermelons, and it was pretty, you know, easy for him to sell them locally. And I mean, it was, you know, there's a lot of plants. So just having one or two of anything, I think, may be a little bit of the issue, trying to have you a little bit larger where maybe you had 6 or 8 plants. Yes, I know the vines run all over everywhere, and that takes up a lot of space. But I think ensuring the good draining soil. And when did you start? When did you first put the plants out?
I put the plants out right after the last frost that we had.
Oh, so you had them out sometime in April?
Yeah, I think I put them out maybe too early. I don't know.
Well, not unless it frosts on them. It's not really too early. I mean, typically around here, April 15th is probably, I mean, the sooner you get the watermelon plants out, you get fruit early. It's very hard in Wake County to have a watermelon ready by the 4th of July.
Right.
Well, you brought up a good point, because I've got a, like I said, I have an area where I could put like 4 plants in, but it's a small area, and somebody said I could put them in with my sweet corn.
Yes, but the part of the problem with that is the vines can run into where the sweet corn is at, but you don't want to start them in the corn and let the corn shade the plants out. That's right. Going to impede the vines growing out. So it's not, I'd say you could have them beside the corn, right, and let the plant grow and then eventually go into the corn as the corn is drying out.
Okay. Yeah, good thing, because that's what I was going to do next year, because I thought there was yet too much sun.
The too much sun would not be a problem. Yes, you might get a fruit scalded every now and then with very hot weather, but that kind of goes with the territory. Yeah. But I don't think the too much sun is the issue.
Bruce, we got to go, but thank you.
Hey, thanks for that. Yep. I mean, the one thing I didn't water enough.
Yep, that's right.
All right.
Nobody's getting enough water. Thank you.
I'll drink to that.
All right. Drink water. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. All right, we're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here, along with Rufus Edmonston. The illustrious Rufus Edmonston. We're going to sing happy birthday. Y'all ready, boys? Really? We're going to have to sing happy birthday here to Brother Rufus. Rufus, you got to sing. You got to sing too.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rufus. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. wasn't much at. Like one time I went to this meeting and said, it's our songwriter. He ain't much, but he's all we got.
Well, that's all we promise on this show. You know, it's we do the best we can. We can't be perfect, for goodness sake. Gerald's pretty close with his stuff, with his gardening stuff. We only have a couple of minutes left, Gerald. We haven't talked at all about lawns.
They've probably fried.
Yeah, even my weeds have fried.
Yep.
So, because I don't water. You know, it's tough out there. If you have a fescue lawn, you probably have some disease or some dead grass or dormant.
Most definitely out of that. The good news is Bermuda bounces back.
Yeah,
pretty quick. So, if you know if you've got the Bermuda that's had this rain and got out of stress, and you see some more rain, I have not even looked at the forecast. Catching it with another shot of fertilizer here in the mid summer, which can get it back actively growing, because all this dry, hot weather we've had, it's tried to shut down to help save itself. So that will help you get back to fill in if you had some places, you know, die out. The fescue, if you've not had the ability to water it, it's probably is probably fried by now, and you'll be back starting over in September again.
Yeah.
But
everything,
everything
has been blooming well. Yeah, if you've got full sun, plant some warm season grass. If you don't have, if you got a lot of tree competition, if you got shade, if you got root competition, you're not going to be able to grow any kind of grass very easily unless it's, a Mondo grass. And that's what people resort to.
Well, that one rain brought back greenery all over of my weeds.
That's right. The weeds are coming back, and
mow them down. That's the last of my worry about my lawn. But don't get mad at me because I said that.
Well, I feel the same way. I just don't have time anymore. I have too many plants.
If I've got water, it's going to go to something I enjoy.
Well,
not a blade of grass.
We'll see y'all next week. We'll see you next week, Rufus. And, Gerald, appreciate you coming by,
sure,
buddy.
Thing.
We always enjoy it. We'll see if we can ask your wife, see if you can come back.
All right.
Maybe next month. All right. I know you got a lot of traveling, a lot of grandkids, all that stuff.
Be the person your dog thinks you are.
So, thank you, Colin. We'll be back next week.